Please keep that passage open in front of you. So if you've got a Bible with you, if you haven't opened it, or if you've shut it, please do open it up again, because we're going to spend the next few minutes having a look at Psalm 22. And so it would be helpful if you've got it in front of you. We will look at a few other verses in the Bible as well. But first, we're going to pray. We need to ask for God to help us as we come to his word, that he would teach us. So let's just pray to God. Our Father, please would you teach us now. Please speak to us. Father, please still our hearts and help us to be ready to hear from you. Help us be expectant now that you would speak into our hearts and into our lives, and that you would change us. Father, please be at work now. Amen. There are many things that you hope for your children, many things you hope for Harry. One of the things that you hope for is that they will be safe and secure. That they will be safe. And when we talk about safety and security, what we mean is we really want nothing bad to happen to them. We don't want nasty things to happen to our children. We don't want them to get hurt. And we do everything that we can to try to make sure that nothing bad is going to happen to them. Now, this isn't just an issue for people with little children. Of course, this is true for all of us. Many of us, we want to make sure that our lives are safe and secure. We don't want a risk when it comes to our jobs or financial difficulties or marriage problems or whatever it may be. We want to say, actually, we want to be secure. We want to be safe. But, of course, there are limits as to how safe we can actually make our lives. One of the ways, as parents, that you try to make your children safe, and one of the slight nightmares, is with car seats. Now, I think it's funny, we spend a lot of time trying to make sure car seats are just right for our cars. I remember in my childhood, at one point, one of the cars my mum had didn't even have seat belts in the back. You're just rolling around in the back. But now, we want to be really safe and really secure, and we want to make sure our children are safe and secure. And so, particularly when they're very little, you have those backward-facing car seats. And I became an expert when our children were little at putting those in the car. I couldn't do it now. Don't get me afterwards to try and demonstrate. But I knew, and I, having been to Halford, where they told me how to do it, there should be only 1 millimetre of movement for those seats if you pull on them. So I was an expert at jamming that seat in, making sure that it was secure, get your knee in there, you make sure it is as secure as it possibly can be. One journey that Bev and I and the children went on, I think it was Toby who was the littlest, our youngest, when he was a baby, his seat really securely in. We went on our journey, got to the other end, got out the car, opened the door, and found I hadn't strapped him in. I'd got the car seat secure, but I hadn't got him in. And your mind just races then, doesn't it? What if this had happened? What if that had happened? What if we'd broken something? What if... But he was safe. He was all right. But doesn't that just make you think, actually, there's a limit as to how secure we can make our children, how secure we can make our lives? Because we make mistakes. And things happen that aren't in our control. Well, what does the Bible teach about security? And the good news in the Bible, and in the passage that we've read and other verses that we'll look at, is that the Bible says there is a real security that you and I can have. But you've got to redefine what security is. So we need to get into these verses to understand what security really is. First thing. God never promised that we won't suffer. Now, the reason for going into Psalm 22 this week, if you're a regular church family member, you'll know we have been going through Daniel. We stopped that series and we've changed it a bit because I've had a sabbatical recently. There are some things I've been thinking about in that time. And one of the things was this. It is about security. And so I wanted to share this with you. I thought it was appropriate, particularly on a baptism day where we've got maybe some outsiders coming in. Great that you're here. So what do we learn about security? First thing is, God never promised you won't suffer. Psalm 22 is a psalm which, as you read through, you may have thought, well, this is a bit of a downer here. We've come on a baptism day full of joy, full of happiness for Harry. We read through this psalm and it's a bit of a downer. It starts off with, my God, why have you forsaken me? And actually, the whole of the first, well, two-thirds of the psalm, really, is all about someone going through real trial. The person who wrote it is a guy called David. He was king of Israel hundreds and hundreds of years ago. He was the king of Israel, and he wrote a lot of the psalms. And he wrote this psalm. Now, we don't know when he wrote it. We don't know the circumstances of his life. But clearly, he was going through a nightmare of a time. Just think how many ways that he is going through trouble. He feels abandoned by God. Verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? And he goes on. Verse 6, he is rejected by people. He says, but I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men, despised by people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He's rejected by people. He's also wrecked in his body and in his spirit. He is just ruined. Verse 14 says, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength has dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. And he goes on. You see, this is someone who, in terms of other people, is rejected, feels rejected by God. His body is wrecked. I mean, he's saying he can see his bones. I mean, he is in a terrible state. And I want you to see from these verses, this is someone who was close to God. And yet he still went through suffering. Harry, you want another go? No. He was someone who was a follower of God, who was close to God, and yet he still went through horrible suffering. And as you go through the Bible, you see over and over again, those who follow God, they still suffer. Now, that may be a fairly basic point. You may think, yes, of course. But actually, that can come as quite a shock to some people. Being a Christian is not a security guarantee that nothing bad will happen to you. And actually, if we take this idea into our Christian lives, then when anything bad happens to us, we can start to doubt the existence of God. And actually, if you're honest, if you're a Christian today, there can be times where the smallest of problems can make you doubt whether God exists. Even losing your car keys. After 1 hour, you're starting to think, God, if you really loved me, you would show me where these keys are. God, where are you? See, an hour into it, you're 75% of the way towards atheism. And that's all because you've lost your car keys. You see, our problem can be that we take into our Christian lives the idea that actually God should make my life secure. He should make sure that everything's all right. Or at least better and easier than those who aren't Christians. After all, I'm with God. God should do this for me. But that's not what the Bible promises. And God never promised that our lives would be without suffering. And actually, the security the Bible promises is far greater than this. It is not a security which says you will never suffer. It is a security which says, actually, in the suffering, you are still secure. And let me show you what that security really is. So God never promised you won't suffer. Second, God has promised he will never abandon us. Psalm 22 can be read from the point of view of, well, at least two people. One is King David, who we said wrote the psalm. But the second is Jesus. See, over and over again, when Jesus, if you remember, he was on trial and he was crucified. And as you go through the accounts of Jesus' trial and crucifixion, over and over again, they quote from this psalm. And even on the cross, Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, Jesus is saying, this psalm is about me. This psalm is about my suffering. And it is. Jesus himself felt and was abandoned by God. He was rejected by people. Everyone rejected him. Even his closest friends ran away from him. And body and spirit were broken on the cross. He went through this suffering. But a key verse in Psalm 22 is verse 24. Would you have a look at that verse with me? Page 555, verse 24. You've got all that account of that suffering that Jesus went through. And then it says, verse 24, for he, that's God, for he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. Let me read that again. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. Now notice there, it is not that God hasn't despised the afflicted one. It's that he hasn't despised the suffering of the afflicted one. In other words, this is saying of Jesus, when he died on the cross, his suffering, the actual suffering, was not rejected by God. Why not? What was going on there that meant that God did not reject Jesus' actual suffering? Well, it's because when Jesus was suffering, he was achieving for us what we couldn't achieve for ourselves. We've already symbolized it in baptism, of getting Harry wet and saying, actually, that symbolizes being washed. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he was bearing the punishment we deserve. He was taking our sin onto himself. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ died for sin once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Now, do you see what that's saying? That's saying there's a substitution going on. Jesus dies on the cross. He goes through the agony of the cross so that you and I don't have to. We deserve that, but he takes it for us. Why? So that we can come to God. So that we can have a relationship with God. And therefore, would you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8? You might want to keep a hand in Psalm 22. Sorry, I probably said that too late, didn't I? But Romans chapter 8, page 1135. Page 1135. Now, in the book of Romans, Paul, who wrote the letter, has just been explaining about the cross. He's just outlined what the cross does for us. He says, because of the cross, our sin is dealt with. And if we trust in Jesus, our sin is gone. Therefore, at the end of chapter 8, there is this massive climax in the book of Romans. And this is the wonderful climax. Let's go for verse 35 onwards. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you see, Paul's conclusion here is, because Christ died for us, now there is nothing that can separate me from God's love. Not trouble, not hardship, nor persecution, famine, nakedness or danger. Nothing bad, nothing that happens to me is an indication that God doesn't love me. Because Jesus died on the cross for me. You see, because Jesus was abandoned, I now know I will never be abandoned. Because Jesus was abandoned, I know I will never be abandoned. Now, if you're not a Christian today, great that you're here. Wonderful that you're here. If you're here to support the family for Harry, that is great. I wonder, have you thought about your eternal security? We spend a long time, don't we, looking into other kinds of security. Car insurance, how many hours do you spend trying to get better car insurance at a cheaper rate? You spend hours to save £100. How long have you spent thinking about eternal security? You say, well, we can't know. How can we know what's beyond death? Well, we can know, because the Bible tells us. And it's worth, isn't it, even just looking to see what there is there. You spend all that time going through Go Compare or whatever it may be. Isn't it worth a bit of time looking at what the Bible says about beyond, what's beyond this life? Now, if you're not a Christian, can I encourage you, please pick up one of these. They're free. We've got a few of these books called A Fresh Start. They're on the bookstall as you head out the door. Pick one of them up. I'd be delighted if they all go. They're free. Great book to explain about the Christian faith. If you want a smaller one, this one, Good Question, is a good one. Maybe you've got lots of answers to questions. Maybe you're asking. I get loads of these at the back. Do take one. Love you to have it. Christians, we need to take on board the fact that no matter what goes on in our lives, God has not abandoned us. He has promised he will never abandon us. Because Jesus was abandoned, I know I never am. It's a bit like, another child illustration, but there you go. If you've ever taken a child to teach them how to ride a bike, you know, ride a bike without stabilizers, it's a really interesting experience. We've managed it with one of ours. We haven't been brave enough with the other two yet. But when you take them to the park and you've said to them, what we're going to do today, we're going to teach you how to ride. We're going to teach you to ride a bike without stabilizers. And the initial reaction is, yeah, I'm going to ride a bike without stabilizers. And then when they actually get to the park and you've taken the stabilizers off and they're on the bike, all of a sudden all that confidence just falls through the floor, doesn't it? And they're thinking, I'm not sure I can do this. And they're on the bike with their feet on the floor, thinking, I don't know what to do next. And you're there. And so what do? You grab the handlebars, you grab the seat, and you say to your child, I've got you. I've got you. You're safe. And then you go along, and you're walking along, and you're holding on, and there's a little wobble. And what does the child do? Grabs your arm. And you say, no, it's okay. I've got you. You're safe. And they put the hands back on the handlebars and they keep going. What God is saying, security is God saying to you and me, I've got you. No matter what happens, no matter what you're going through, I've got you. And you need to know that. You need to know that God has said he will never abandon you. If you're facing at the moment deteriorating health, your health is not so good, or you're worried about tests, or you're worried about what's coming up, you need to know God is with you. He's with you through that. He has not abandoned you. It is not a sign he doesn't love you. If you've got marriage problems, God is not saying I've abandoned you. He is with you. Your job is at risk. Maybe you don't have a job now. God is not saying, I've abandoned you. He's saying, if you're a Christian, he's saying, I've got you. I've got you. Third thing. So security is not saying that we will never suffer. Security is saying, God's saying he will never abandon us. But thirdly, God has promised that even the bad is used for good. Now this is incredible. This is an incredible thing to say. You see, because Jesus died for us, because he was abandoned so that we don't have to be, therefore when we're going through suffering, we can't say that this is God punishing us. Because Jesus has taken the punishment, hasn't he? He's already dealt with that. So what's going on when I am suffering, when I'm going through difficult times? It is that God is using even the bad for good. You see, we can even say for us, verse 24, for he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. And that can even be true of us. Turn back to Romans chapter 8. Again, page 1135. Page 1135, really important verse, maybe one that you know or have learnt off by heart. Page 1135, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says this. Page 1135, Romans 8, 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, what's the good there? You see, that verse is saying, in every situation, for those who are Christians, for those who put their trust in Christ, God is working for good in every situation. Now, what is that good? The good is not pleasure or nice life. The good is, and you find it as you go through into the next verse actually, the good is that we be conformed to the likeness of his Son. In other words, God is about heart transformation. He is about character changing to make us more like Christ. And the tools that he uses are every situation. The good, the bad, the difficult, the easy, every situation God uses to craft us, to shape us, to be more like his Son. What it's not saying is suffering leads to happy times. It's not saying, well, you suffer now, but that will then mean that you therefore have a happier time to come. It's not saying suffer now, comfort later. It is actually saying in the struggles, in the difficulties, God is working in those times to make you more like Christ. It's a bit like if you like physical exercise, like going to the gym. If you like going to the gym, that's amazing. But if you like sport or like exercise, actually you know, and for me this comes very early on if I'm doing exercise, there comes a point where you're feeling terrible. You're feeling wrecked. You're feeling like you just want to give up. But yet you know, if you like exercise, actually that's the point where actually things are really changing. Things are really happening. That's when good is being done in your body. Spiritually, it is through the suffering, through the difficult times. It is in those times God is shaping us and changing us. And therefore, we need to realize that if you're going through a trial at the moment, that is God at work in you, making you more like his Son, if you're a Christian. Now, that can be really uncomfortable. After all, what do you normally pray when you're going through a difficult time? Normally we pray, Father, get us out of this difficult time. What would you be praying for your children if they're going through a difficult time? Father, please take them out of this. And yet God may well be saying, no, this is exactly where I want you. Paul Tripp, who's a preacher and counselor in America, he put it brilliantly. He described a scene where Jesus, in the Gospels, sends his disciples out on ahead of him on the lake. He sends them out in a boat. And while they're out on the lake, a storm hits the boat and they're terrified. Now, Paul Tripp says at that point, now, why is it that they're in the storm? Why are they in the danger? Is it because they've disobeyed God? Is it because they've been particularly bad people? No. They are in the storm because they've obeyed Jesus. Jesus sent them there so that they could learn something about him. God, you see, as Paul Tripp says, God takes us places we don't want to go to achieve in us things we can't achieve for ourselves. Now, that's not saying that if you're in a place where you're suffering, where there's maybe abuse or things like that, that's not saying you have to stay in that situation. It may well be right to come out of that situation. But it is saying even the bad God uses for good. Now, do you see how that is incredible security? It's not a security that says God will wrap you up in cotton wool and nothing bad will ever happen to you. It's not that security. And if you're expecting that, well, you're going to be disappointed if you become a Christian or if you are a Christian. But it is saying, through the difficulties, through the hard times, God will never leave you. Through the hard times, God will even use the bad for good. You see, security is God saying, I've got you. I'm your Father, and I've got you, even through the difficult times. Sometimes we limp through life so that we lean on him. We're not meant to live independent lives from God. Now, that's the thing about the bicycle thing, isn't it? When you're teaching a child to ride the bike, the idea is that in the end, you do let go. And they zoom off on their own, and they're happy sort of cycling off. That is not the case with God. Actually, as we go through life, we need to realize we need him more and more and more. And we need to depend on him. And at every stage, God says, I've got you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the security that we can have through Christ. Thank you that you promise that for all who trust in you, that you are with us, that you will never abandon us, and that you can use even the bad things for good. Father, thank you. That is incredible security. Please would you therefore turn our hearts that we would reduce our anxiety because we trust in you and we know that you've got us. Please fill our hearts with praise for you, knowing that you are with us and knowing we are secure in your arms. Father, for those here today who aren't yet Christians, please would you help them to turn to Christ and receive what he did for us and fill them with the joy of knowing the forgiveness that only Jesus can bring. Amen.